Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Welcome back to another dual broadcast of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and Everything Church-Related Podcast. We've been interviewing Paul Barreca. He is the director of Fellowship International Mission, or FIM for short. And FIM's goal is to assist missionaries to fulfill their calling by equipping and serving them. Rather than a specific country of focus, FIM starts with the calling to the missionary. Then they come alongside to help them fulfill their call. Now, Paul got a passion for discipleship while serving as a pastor for 38 years. And then he was selected to be the eighth general director of Fellowship International Mission. Yesterday we began our interview, and today we're going to be continuing it. We'll be talking about discipleship tools. We'll be talking about how his books are impacting the training for discipleships. We're talking about, you know, should you go to, should you go to a Bible college, traditional college, both, neither? We're going to talk about all these things. These are questions that we're going to be asking him, and you're going to find out the answers to this and a whole lot more. So stay tuned as we jump right back into this interview with Paul Barreca. Amen. Now, the discipleship tools, are they specific just to missionary work only, or can they be used in churches that might be listening to us as well?
Yeah, no, this is really out of my pastoral ministry at Faith Bible Church in Vineland, New Jersey, other churches over the years. We found that in ministry that we were eager to have a way that not only the pastor can disciple. I mean, you know, so here's what happens in most churches, Bob, and you probably know this. You know, Joe and Mary bring their friends, their next door neighbors to church, and they come on a few Sundays, and they come to know Christ as their Savior. And Joe and Mary are so excited that their friends have gotten saved, and so they call the pastor and say, "Hey, Pastor Paul, guess what? Joe and Mary got saved. Now, can you disciple them?"
Yeah.
That's the plan most churches have for discipleship, or you know, probably even more common, Bob, is that we don't even do discipleship. We just tell Joe and, you know, Joe and Mary want to know, well, okay, well, what do we do now? You know, we trust Christ as our Savior. And the only answer that most churches have is, well, you know, you just come to church and you know, maybe you sign up for the nursery and cut the grass and, you know, get some money. And that's really not an adequate plan. So,
yeah, what I found also is that in a lot of churches today, they use the Rick Warren model of the four classes church membership. So, oh, you want to join the church? Okay, before you can join the church, you got to go to these four classes. And, you know, the first one is like introductory to the church and what the history of the, you know, that particular church building is and all that stuff. And then it goes on through to four until the last one is one of the four will be discipleship. And they use that right and coincides with the one where, you know, how your place in the church, and that's where they, you know, they help them to identify their calling, you know, and like you said, it might be cutting grass and, you know, sweeping the sidewalk or whatever, but I think what they're looking for are workers, you know.
Right. Well, and you know, those things can be helpful, and you know, those are usually in the Rick Warren model. I seem to remember a book where there's a baseball diamond, and I think he. But it's that's kind of their path, and that's really helpful. But discipleship,
discipleship.
Right, when you begin to look at the way that Jesus took these 12 men and he basically lived with them, right, for about the last year and a half is when his ministry with the disciples was full time, and they followed him, and they just, you know, traveled around with him, and that's a much deeper level than just coming to a class or so we found a need to get some materials and get a path by which any church can
I'm getting a lot of like scratchy noises and stuff.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Just start over again because I couldn't understand what you're saying.
Sure, sure. So, as a pastor for many years, I saw a need to give our church members, the people in the church, some way that they can personally disciple and work with new believers, people that had come to know Christ, or sometimes new folks come to the church. They maybe they're Christians for many years, but they've never really grown in
right. Yeah.
They've been church attenders for many years, but they've never really, developed their own personal Bible study habits.
And right.
So over the years in ministry, I began to put some of these things together down in, it just was, at first some pages that were stapled together. And and I think I first started with 16 lessons, and it kind of changed and grew. And now we have 34 lessons that are in a book. That really go over just a few basic things, the fundamentals of the faith, the doctrines of the Christian faith, because a lot of discipleship material, and there's a lot out there, Navigators and
right.
other ministries have discipleship material, but they're what I call them, they're kind of like get started types of things, where they talk about praying and, witnessing perhaps, and some other, some other key things, but they really don't cover the doctrine. So I wanted a tool by which that a new believer could really understand the basic doctrines of the faith, how to study the Bible, and those other aspects of the Christian life, like spiritual growth and prayer and confession of sin. So we put that together. And over the years at Faith Bible Church in Vineland, we had our folks doing that. It wasn't just the pastor or the key deacon that was doing discipleship. We had quite a few of our people entering into, basically like home Bible studies that would take a year or a year and a half, and with the goal of helping that young Christian become spiritually mature, and then that young Christian can help others to become spiritually mature. That's the reproduction model that we're so much looking for. So it's a curriculum and a path, but it's really the key to it is that relationship. It's eating together. That's the environment where that comes from.
Okay. Now your book on discipleship examines, as you said, the ministry of Jesus to his disciples as a pattern for our own efforts at disciple making. But let me just quickly read the description for your book. It's called Follow the Master, How Jesus Made Disciples. And it says, when Jesus gave the Great Commission on the shores of Galilee, he was telling the 11 to go and do with others what I've done with you. He had just completed, as Paul said, over 3 years when they were following him and learning from him. And Jesus repeats this command on the familiar shores of Galilee, where so many of their memories with him were formed. And by examining the life of Jesus, you can learn how to impact others to follow the master. I mean, I'm Paul. It sounds like a great book, but without going to the mission field, how can the average non-fivefold ministry person, i.e., the average Christian, how can they get involved in discipleship training without being called to the mission field?
Well, we all have friends, right, and we all have neighbors and people that we're in touch with, and really that becomes the opportunity for us to influence people for Christ. And when you look at what Jesus did, it's interesting, when Jesus called the disciples, there isn't anything outstanding or spectacular in their lives. They weren't, they weren't teachers, they weren't influential people, they weren't wealthy people, they were common, and what made the difference is the time that Jesus spent with them.
Yeah.
And so I think the Lord is calling us to spend time with people. Hey, let's not forget, we each have, if you're married and have kids, you've got your first discipleship group right there.
Good point. Yeah.
We've got to disciple our kids. And disciple means the root word disciple. It's the Greek word mathetes. In the first century, it wasn't a Christian word.
Right.
It was a common word. And there were lots of disciples. The New Testament talks about there were disciples of the Pharisees. There were lots of disciples, and the concept of discipleship in the first century involved two things. It involved following, and they would literally go, and they, you know, like Plato and Aristotle, they had this little entourage that would follow them, right?
Yep.
So the disciple was a follower, and the other was a learner. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you think about a baker teaching his son how to bake bread, a blacksmith teaching his son how to work with iron. Well, that's what a disciple, that's the idea of discipleship. It means learning and teaching someone those skills. And it's all done in the context of relationships.
Yeah.
So I wanted to clarify for you, Pastor Bob, we're actually talking about two books. The one you talked about, Follow the Master, How Jesus Made Disciples, mm-hmm. looks at the life of Jesus and gives us tools and lessons from the life of Jesus that show us how we're supposed to do this with others. You know, so in other words, when Jesus told the disciples, you know, he gave the Great Commission and he said, go and make disciples. You just read it from the cover of the book there. Jesus was basically, they didn't stand around saying, okay, well, Lord, what does that mean, go and make disciples? That's what they'd been doing that with him. So he had set the pattern and just was telling them, yeah, this is what you got to go and do. So build relationships. And we kind of see how that happened, right? You know, Paul had Timothy and Aquila and Priscilla, and Luke traveled with Paul. And, you know, and so we see these relationships in the New Testament books. And that's how we're to pass on this information, you know, pass on this life change that Christ has done in our lives. The second book is the curriculum book. It's called Follow the Master, a Discipleship Course for Growing Christians.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me put that into the show notes as well.
Tell us
about that book.
Yeah, and that's the book that really came first. That just was a book of desperation. that was a pastor saying, how do I help our people to disciple one another, and, you know, new believers and newcomers to the church that need growth, and that's what started as first a few lessons and then became a larger curriculum. And that's really designed for anyone to take, a friend or in a small group study. It's not the kind of book where the disciplee goes and does a lesson, fills in the blanks, and then comes back and meets with a discipler and they do it together. You actually sit down together and go through it. So you don't need any training. If you can read and read Bible verses and answer the questions that are there, you'll be learning Bible doctrine. And it's really focused on, you know, just teaching Bible doctrine so that our lives can be changed. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you recommend the small group training that's usually offered in churches today?
Well, this is really designed for a small group. This would be like a small group that wants to get together. It's usually going to take about a year because it's 34 lessons, and some of the lessons are really two sessions. They're too long for one session. So we find it takes about a year or a year and a half, and if you could go through this as a small group, or I have folks that have been doing this with their kids in home Bible study and going through this now, it's really more for like high school or middle school and up. It's really not a children's devotional. It's a little too academic for kids, for little kids. But middle school and high school, if you want a tool to work through that with your kids and teach them Bible doctrine, but with the idea of life change, not just learning more information, but how does this impact our lives? How does the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, what does that do for me? The knowledge that once I'm saved, I have, you know, my salvation is based in Christ's work, and it can't be taken away. What does that do for me? You know, how does that change my life on a day by day basis? So, you know, those are the kinds of things that are contained in a neighborhood Bible study or parents with their kids, or it can be done one on one. I used to do it predominantly one on one. But then I started looking at Jesus and the time with his disciples. Very rarely did Jesus spend one-on-one time with his disciples.
Yeah. Not only that, the one-on-one, it takes the same amount of effort. But if you did one-on-five, you've just multiplied yourself five times over.
That's right.
Same amount of effort. Yeah.
And then you're all learning from one another. Even the leader is learning from others. So that's kind of a biblical model. When I completed my doctoral dissertation at Clark Summit University, I did it on discipleship. And that's where I, you know, kind of worked on those lessons and refined them a little bit. But I also looked at the life of Jesus and asked myself the question, well, how did Jesus do this and what can we learn from him? And so this shorter book, Follow the Master, How Jesus Made Disciples, that's where they came, that's where that book comes from. And that's just a kind of book you sit down and read, and you know, you take it on vacation, or you, you know, you keep it on your nightstand and read a chapter, and it's only 100 pages. It doesn't take terribly long to get through, but it just kind of opens our eyes to the methods that, you know, and Jesus, you know, when he trained his disciples, I believe that he was really giving all of us methodology.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
he was he was saying, this is how you do it. And I don't think we've evaluated that. I don't think we've looked at that enough in our Christian circles. We look at the stories and we read the parables and we talk about, you know, Zacchaeus and the feeding of the 5,000. But in all of those events, I think Jesus was also giving us a pattern to follow. Mm-hmm. And so I try to do that in that short little book and examine some of those patterns.
Yeah, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the discipleship training, do you offer the formal discipleship training to those who are coming to you for missionary support? I mean, do, you know, someone, you talk, you're talking to a Bible college student, says, yeah, I want to be a missionary to Libya or wherever, right? What when they come to you, now we're going to get into that in another episode, but do you, they have to go through like a schooling process with your organization? I guess that's the question.
Sure, sure. Well, because FIM is a mission sending organization, we have requirements for somebody who would want to be a missionary, and it depends on what they want to do. So if someone is going and their calling is to do maintenance work at a Christian camp or to organize some kind of orphan ministry or something like that, I think our requirement is for 30 hours of Bible.
Okay.
And we're looking for that at a more academic level, where the Follow the Master is really a church setting and really for all of us. We're not requiring that for our missionaries because we're wanting them to have a little bit more serious or formal Bible training at a Bible school or something like Liberty Online or, you know, something of that nature. Now, if someone comes to us and they want to be a church planter, well, then you need to have some formal training. You know, you need to have gone to Bible college or seminary or something like that. So it depends on the ministry that that person wants to do, how they believe God's calling them. Now, we share our materials with them so that they can use it on the field, but we don't have them go through this because, really, when you want to become a missionary, that should be when there's evidence in your life of your own spiritual maturity. Mm-hmm. And you know, you should already be at that point where you're you know, having this stuff kind of understood. And so this is a tool for them to use, but not necessarily for them to go through before they come with FIM.
Okay. So when you go on these college campuses and someone express interest, I guess the support aspect is not so much the financial support. They're required, I'm assuming, based upon past experiences, they go out and get their own people to support them, but you are there more or less with the resources aspect as far as these are materials that you can hand out and things like that?
That's right, yeah. So a student comes and we just had somebody I was just talking to from Liberty University, and mm-hmm. and they're looking to go to Togo and minister in Togo. And so they're in the process of raising their support. So there's an application process. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like a job application. You fill out, you know, paperwork and, you know, what do you want to do? And we ask them to complete a ministry plan of, you know, what their intentions are and what they think God's calling them to do. And then we evaluate that because when they get there, we want them to be effective. You know, we don't just want to put people on an airplane and they get there for 3 weeks and they figure, oh, well, this wasn't for me. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
we want them to thrive. And so we want to make sure that they're skills and their training are matched up with their ministry desires. So there's an application process, and they go through that. They work with our mobilization team to see that. And sometimes we tell a student in college, hey, this is great. This is a great plan, but you need to finish your education, or you need to add these courses, or sometimes we'll send people, particularly if they're going to a real cross-cultural setting, where there's a different language and a different culture. We even will send them to some special training that they might learn how to handle those different cross-cultural situations. So it really depends on the missionary, depends on their country and what they're doing, and then, you know, asking them to perhaps go and get some further training or to work with us. Now, from that point, they do have to be approved as a missionary. We have a week-long candidate orientation program where they come together. It's kind of like a compressed college month. It's like a semester of college compressed down to a week. Yeah. Where we go through, you know, things that they're going to need to do. And once they're approved, then they go out and raise their funds for that ministry. And, you know, it's interesting, Pastor Bob, you know, that model of raising money, that is a biblical model.
Oh, yeah?
We find Paul, right? So in Philippians, which is interesting, you read the book of Philippians, is a thank you note for the gifts that the Philippian church had sent to Paul, and wasn't only the gift for the saints in Jerusalem. This is now the prison epistle.
And
so they sent a gift to Rome when Paul was in prison, and Paul writes them back and is thanking them for this gift. And we call Philippians the epistle of joy. It is filled with joy, the joy that was in Paul's heart for the believers in Philippi and what they were doing and how they were supporting him. Mm-hmm. We read that Jesus was supported by the women in ministry. You know, you go to the Old Testament and God sends Elijah to the Cherith Brook and sends a widow there to take care of him. You know, the Bible, when you're going to serve the Lord wants us to do that in partnership with others.
That's right. So
this idea of raising money, it's not, you know, it's not a terrible thing that we have to look upon with dread. It's an exciting part because God's bringing the whole body together. Amen. To meet these needs and to present the gospel in these other countries. And honestly, you know, that's part of what my ministry is. I'm raising support for my ministry, you know, because when you're a pastor, your members raise the support. Yeah. It's called the offering, right?
That's right. Exactly.
You know, every Sunday. But when you're a missionary and you don't have one local church that you're a part of, right? Because that's really what missions work is. It's churches banding together, partnering together, to do a work that's not being done by the church in another area. It might be a country where there is no church, or it might be a country where there's a struggling church and they don't have theology teachers, or they don't have counseling resources, or they need some help with children's ministries. And missionaries from other churches in the United States or in Canada or in Mexico or some other country, they go and they help the other Christians in another church. So it's this wonderful picture of partnership, and raising support is a part of that partnership. So we try to encourage our missionaries that it is a little daunting to think, wow, I want to be a missionary, but I got to raise, you know, $6,000 a month or $3,000 a month. But you know, as you start to do that, you see how God puts it all together, and it's a
Well, this is fascinating. I could talk to you for a long time about this. I mean, we're just scratching the surface on some of these things right now. And I like to, you know, get into some deeper aspects with you as well. Will you come back on the program at some other time and we kind of go over some more things?
Pastor Bob, you're asking me if I want to talk to another pastor about the work of the Lord? Well, yes, certainly I do.
Amen. Anyway, because I want to talk to you about, you know, I mean, I got a myriad of things on the list, you know, about, we talk about, you know, current trends that are going on in Christianity around the world, the global outreach efforts, how we discussed briefly about millennials and how, you know, how they're looking at global outreach efforts. I mean, all these different things. And with your background and pastoral ministry and making that lane change to missions work, I mean, I'd like to get you back on soon to talk about why churches need to focus on the actual ministry work of discipleship rather than on program building and, you know, different things like that. Does that sound good?
Pastor Bob, those are things I'm really passionate about. I would be happy to do that and to look forward to talking to you again. Amen. If I could, let me just tell the folks how to access these two books.
Yep, that was my next question. How can they get order your book?
Yeah, the one of two ways. You can go to my website, which is followthemaster.org, and there's a link to both of the books. If you're an Amazon customer, like many of us are, you can go on Amazon and look up Follow the Master, How Jesus Made Disciples, and the other book, Follow the Master, A Discipleship Course for Growing Christians. And they're easily accessible. They're How Jesus Made Disciples is available on Kindle as well. So there's lots of ways to access those materials.
Amen. And if someone wanted to get a hold of you, ask questions or to support your organization, get more information, or maybe invite you to be on an interview such as this, how can they do that?
They can do that by contacting me at FIM. And the web address for FIM is very simple. It's www.fim.org. Three letters, easy enough. And there's a give page if you want to support our ministry. And then there's also contact information. My personal email is paul@fim.org. And so if you forget all that and you say, oh, this Paul guy, just Google, you know, my last name or FIM, and I'm sure you'll be able to get me in one way or another.
Amen. I'm going to put all that information in the show notes as well. So, folks, that's all the time we have for today. Like I said, I could keep going, but, you know, I got to respect Paul's time. After all, he is the director of a major ministry. So I want to thank you again, Paul, for coming on our program today, and I look forward to having you back soon. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Bob, thanks for your service today.
No problem. Folks, like I said, that's all the time we have for Dr. Paul Borecka and myself. This is Pastor Bob Thibodeau reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.